is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
What are we going to do about these mysterious drones? Did you hear about the tornado? Yeah, tornado up near Santa Cruz. But first, school is back for Malibu.
Yeah, most schools that were shut down by the Franklin fire in Malibu are reopening this morning. Let's get more live from our Craig Figner. He's at one campus that's about to be open again.
Yeah, good morning, Vicki and Mike. Outside of Malibu High School here, yeah, it is going to reopen. And just saw what I think are the first students to arrive here on campus this morning. This one reopening along with Malibu Elementary and Malibu Middle School. There is one school that's not opening until tomorrow, and it won't be at the campus that it's actually at, this particular school. It's Webster Elementary. It will, at least students will return to a backup campus tomorrow, but the actual school won't reopen until probably early next year. It did have some damage, the campus did, that is connected to the Franklin fire. It is this morning, the fire, it is half contained, they say 49%, and there is concern about the weather coming up starting tomorrow through Thursday. There will be very low humidity, a return to Santa Ana wind gusts, and this fire, we're told, destroyed a total of 20 structures.
Craig, thanks. Trying to figure out what to do about the power and the communications when these kind of things happen, because we had all the trouble with the cell signals when this fire broke out. Pete Demetrio talking with the Malibu Mayor Doug Stewart.
Residents have complained the loss of electrical power in Malibu took too long to remedy, and as a result, communications, both phone and internet, were impacted and posed a safety risk to the public. Mayor Doug Stewart says the city will be working with SCE and communications companies regarding enhanced battery backups for infrastructure.
More than anything else, we've got to make sure that we can get messages out to our people. However we do it, and we need to make sure that people that have medical issues can get electricity to take care of them. This is not working well for us. We're going to have to fix it. And we look at the complaints by the neighbors and the people here. They turn off the power supposedly for high winds. There's no high winds. They never show up. So we've got to fix that.
There's going to be a town hall meeting Wednesday night.
The National Weather Service has confirmed a tornado touchdown near Santa Cruz, ripping through a mall Saturday afternoon. Video showed a funnel cloud tearing across the parking lot and tossing several cars upside down. Several people were hurt. A Weather Service meteorologist says tornadoes in California are not unheard of.
We're not on to something, you know, new and unprecedented here. It's kind of more like luck of the draw, honestly. So we deal with these types of storms that are rotating offshore quite a bit, that may produce water spouts over the ocean, and they move onshore. It's rare, but we see it at least a few times a year.
The Weather Service classified it as a weak EF1 tornado. It lasted about 5 minutes, and winds were estimated at about 90 miles per hour.
Your next holiday travel period is this weekend all the way through New Year's Day, and it's expected to break some records. A pre-pandemic record set back in 2019. Here's Chris Van Cleve.
AAA expects 119.3 million to travel between next Saturday and New Year's Day, narrowly edging out the previous record set in 2019. Most, 107 million, will drive, finding gas prices hovering around $3 a gallon, nearly 15 cents cheaper than a year ago.
If you are driving, Sunday is going to be the busiest.
Congress wants Homeland Security to send out higher power technology to identify mysterious drones and their operators.
Amidst the fear and bewilderment about drones buzzing over parts of New York and New Jersey, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer urging the feds to use the Robin radar systems for its advanced 360-degree technology that also tracks drones back to a landing spot.
If you see a drone in your air over your home, you should not have to shake an eightfold to see what it is. There ought to be better technology, and there is. We need that technology here.
Schumer also says he's working to pass a bill to give local law enforcement more tools. Meanwhile, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said Sunday on ABC they have the power to incapacitate drones, but need those authorities expanded, and continues to say the drones don't appear to be linked to foreign governments. Julie Walker, New York.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Capitol Hill today. He is President-elect Donald Trump's pick to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, and he is expected to face questions from both parties about his views on vaccines. We talked to CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane about RFK Jr.'s day in D.C.
He's going to start with Republican senators who are devotees of Donald Trump. He'll be meeting with Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Rick Scott of Florida, senators who are going to come out in the hallway and champion RFK Jr.'s candidacy to be the health secretary. Let's see what happens later in the week. If and when he meets with the more moderate Republican senators, potentially some Democratic senators who have questions about anti-vax stances, about his experience to navigate this enormous bureaucracy, and all the other baggage RFK Jr. carries as he metaphorically walks through these halls.
Where are we on the level of pushback that the president-elect is now seeing from some of these people in Congress? Yeah, on some of the nominees, but there was also more this weekend on the idea, you know, that he floated, he's done it a couple of times, of jailing the people that were on the January 6th committee. Lindsey Graham was out there saying, no, I don't agree with that at all.
There's different types of pushback to different types of things, Mike. He's getting less and less kickback to his choices for his cabinet. We saw an initial wave of dissent about Pete Hegseth, or an initial wave of concern. That seems to be subsiding as Republicans and Trump allies press those senators who might defect, keep them in line. These ideas about jailing journalists and jailing political adversaries, not seeing any momentum even from Trump allies to those very provocative, if not dangerous, suggestions, but he hasn't stopped making them.
Congress is going to dig into the drone sightings this week. What can we expect out of this other than just talk?
Oh, behold, a rare bipartisan moment here. Everybody's freaked out about the drones in both parties, and they're hearing from their constituents in both parties that something should be done to fill any of the gaps. There's concern here that you have different federal agencies pointing to each other, that they should take an action or they should answer the questions about drones. And that's a problem. They have to button that up. There is some must-pass legislation this week, Vicky, to avoid a government shutdown Friday. They could try to craft some language to hitch a ride on that, to give agencies, federal and state, the ability to track and take down drones that get near sensitive spots, airports, reservoirs, seaports.
Yeah, where's it, there has to be somebody saying, why don't we just shoot one down and then figure it out what it is once it crashes?
Oh, there are people saying that. The New Jersey Republicans have said they should have taken those things down last week and shoot them down, then investigate. You don't want to have vigilantes out there doing it. So the government really has to figure out whose responsibility this is. There's overlapping jurisdiction here. That becomes a problem because everybody thinks the other guy should do it.
That is CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane. Crashes involving self-driving cars may no longer be reported to the feds, and a rare sight in the skies above Southern California last night. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Couple more weeks for the stock market here in 2024, but the analysts are already making their predictions, looking ahead to next year, 2025.
The U.S. economy is projected by many to remain resilient for 2025. Chris Heise is chief investment officer at Merrill, and he sees the economy and company earnings firing on all cylinders.
You know, history tells you that stock returns, despite the fact that 23 and 24 were over 20%, you could have a third year following on to that.
The concerns? Interest rates and inflation. Heise thinks getting inflation under control will be tough, with a silver lining of higher growth equaling higher salaries for Americans.
That simply means that growth is higher, therefore their wages should be higher.
Brad Gibson for CBS News.
The Trump transition team is pushing to drop a crash reporting rule that tracks accidents involving advanced driver assistance and self-driving cars. The rule, which Tesla has criticized, requires automakers to report crashes where these systems were active within 30 seconds of impact. Tesla believes this rule unfairly highlights its crash data, since it reports more incidents than other companies. The change could benefit Tesla, which has reported over 1,500 crashes under the rule, and would make it harder for regulators like the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to track safety problems in self-driving cars. NHTSA argues that the data is essential for spotting crash patterns and ensuring safety.
President Biden and the VP, Kamala Harris, thanking supporters of the DNC's holiday party. It was last night in Washington. Harris telling the guests she was grateful for all their tireless work during her campaign.
Everything you did made a difference and mattered and has impact that is lasting. All the work you did to bring these resources together allowed us to do rallies where people from every walk of life would come.
Biden saying he expects Harris will remain a central character in the party's future.
Ousted dictator Bashar al-Assad says his departure from Syria was not planned. BBC correspondent Steve Rosenberg has more from Moscow.
He claims that at no point during these events did he consider stepping down or seeking refuge. Again, trying to justify his actions and claim that he didn't abandon Syria.
Assad said in a statement on his Facebook page that he left Damascus on the morning of December 8th, hours after opposition fighters were closing in on Damascus.
There are thousands of Syrian refugees living in Southern California. Bob Brils is one of them, says he wants to go back and rebuild.
54 years of choking the people onto their neck. They can't breathe. They can't eat. They can't do anything. They can't prosper.
He was just 17 years old when he fled the massacre of the Assad regime, leaving 23 members of his family dead in the crackdown. Hassan Tweet is a board member of Sunrise USA, an organization which supports those who come from his country with education and more. He tells KNX News, so many young people fled and landed in many parts of the world. They received good educations and got a taste of democracy. Now they want to go back and rebuild the country.
They went to Europe. They went to Australia. They went to the United States. They went to the Gulf countries. They all made a good future. They will come back and they will rebuild the Syria.
He adds while his family was dispersed to various countries, he was the lucky one to get to the United States. That was December 12th, 1983. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News 97.1 FM.
LADA Nathan Hochman plans to fire the special prosecutor George Gascon hired to review controversial police shootings. Lawrence Middleton billed the county $1 million over a three-year period, but failed to produce any convictions. A prosecutor in L.A. County makes an average of about $135,000 a year. The L.A. Times reports he intends to terminate Middleton's contract before it expires in June. Middleton is a former federal prosecutor who convicted several LAPD officers of violating Rodney King's civil rights. Gascon hired him to improve police accountability.
Southern California man killed by three of his own dogs at a park. Here's Emily Valdez.
It happened at a park in Mira Mesa, San Diego County. Police say Friday afternoon, three large dogs turned on their owner while he was walking them. Bystanders called 911 and at least one person tried to help the man, but the attack continued until police showed up and tased the dogs. The man died at a hospital.
This is a true tragedy.
Nina Thompson is with the San Diego Humane Society.
During the course of the investigation, our human office officers did learn that another person was trying to intervene, and that person was also severely injured.
She says the three dogs were euthanized. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Did you watch the moon rise last night? Well, if you did, you watched a major lunar standstill that happens every 19 years. It's when the moon reaches its farthest point north in its orbit. It's like the moon's version of a solstice. Griffith Observatory hosted a public viewing.
We came up here as just a celebration, and then it just happened to be this grandiose moon rising night, and so it was a lovely surprise to have.
Yep, and it's awesome. The stars aligned, as you could say, so, or the moon aligned.
Dr. Ed Krupp, Griffith Observatory Director, was there to explain the whole thing to KCAL News.
We are, however, in an interesting period for the moon. It runs through a cycle that lasts more than 18 years, and we're at the time in the cycle where each month the moon rises as far to the north and as far to the south as we ever see it.
Krupp says the moon looked like it usually does to the naked eye, but the coolest part, it was also a full moon. The next major lunar standstill will be in 2043.
You want to watch it together? You want to make plans now?
Sure. Christmas and Hanukkah are both next week, and if you haven't started shopping yet, it's time to hit the stores, whether in person or online. We talked to a retail expert, Trey Bodge, who gave us some great gift ideas.
There are so many last-minute shoppers. Everyone I'm talking to is just getting started, which is so funny, but thankfully, there are some great ways that you can get gifts very quickly. So first of all, don't forget that gift cards are among the most popular gifts every single year. So as long as I've been doing this 12 years, people love gift cards, and they've come a long way. You can get them personalized. There's a great site called perfectgift.com where you can upload a photo and a personalized message to be printed on a gift card. The recipient also has flexibility. If they receive it digitally, they can change the retailer. They can choose a Visa card. So lots of options there. And then you can get discounted gift cards. So giftcardgranny.com has discounted gift cards from, say, DSW. You can save 20% on that gift. And then you give it to the recipient and they get full value. So that's a great way to save 20% on your gift.
Should you kind of know your person, though, and think about that? Because some people still will get the gift card and be like, oh, you didn't try. You got me a gift card. Are we still in that kind of danger zone with gift cards? Or have we come a long way as a society where now we're like, no, give me something that I can use. I'll just go buy it myself.
I think we've come a really long way. I think that gift cards, that stigma has gone away. People love to shop for themselves, and the gift card gives them that. And I love these personalization options. But I would say this, too. Like you said, shipping is going to get very tight in the coming days. You know, know, Amazon, sure, but you may want to not even take a risk with Amazon because they had a strike recently, and so there might be some delays. So I would go in store. One of my picks for in store would be Target, because Target is, they have decorations to the nines. They have so many fun things in the store. It's so fun to shop there. And plus, if you don't want to go in the store, they have drive up, they have order pickup as well. And a couple of my favorites in terms of gifts, especially if you're kind of scratching your head and you don't know what to get someone, they have some fun holiday treats from A Favorite Day and Marks and Spencer, and their chocolates and other fun holiday themed treats that are under $25. And they also have Wonder Shop, which is one of their house brands. They have some really festive mugs. These are great for babysitters, teachers, bus drivers, all those folks that you're kind of like, I don't know what to get this person. So Target would be my go-to.
You know, somebody said to me once, what's kind of stuck with me is like a last minute, okay, I want something usable that seems kind of nice that someone wouldn't buy for themselves. They said, go to like a good cooking store and get them like a really nice olive oil. And they just kind of like tie some ribbon around it and dress it up a little bit, because like, who's going to buy the $20 or $30 bottle for themselves? But if you get it, they're going to cook with it, you know, and they're going to be like, oh, it's so nice, I'm using it all the time.
I love that idea. I've written about olive oils a lot on my gift guides on my site, and I just think it's a great gift for, you can get the kind that's for drizzling, cooking, and they come in beautiful boxes. So olive oil, like, and along the idea of functional gifts, obviously we all have our phones with us all the time. So think about an accessory to go with that phone, like say a mobile charger or some new earbuds. Things like that are things that everyone's going to use every single day, and or a Bluetooth speaker even. I've given those as gifts and they're so popular. So phone accessories, functional gifts like foods, really fun creative kitchen items that help make food prep easier. These are all really safe and fun and well-received gifts.
That is retail expert Trey Bodge.
That olive oil idea is not bad, huh?
Yeah.
You were saying.
I know.
Yeah.
I like that. Somebody gave me one time and I liked it a lot.
It wasn't me, was it?
No, it was not you.
Okay.